Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Sunday, June 4th, 2017. Can you believe that we are in June? I could have sworn that we just passed January, let alone June. You are here at Rapid Black. This is your host, K-Mac. This is where we discuss topics that are related to our families and our communities. We add a little bit of history. We look at uplifting as well as pushing the movement forward. We are who we say we are. We are no more and no less. Understand, we are not to be underestimated, and we definitely will not be silenced. This is Rapping Black. So, today has been an extremely hot day out here in the desert. We are rolling close to triple digits. in beautiful blue skies, but it's hot. Tonight, I wanted to look at a few things that I don't want to say anger me or make me all upset, but I can say that it's getting annoying, and I'm getting close to being really pissed off about it. Not a whole lot I can do about it, because this is the way people choose to talk and engage. This is how people choose to do things, say things. I saw a post today that talked about or asked the question, if we are in the age of information overload. Of course, the obvious answer is yes. However, there's another part to that. It's one thing about having information at your fingertips. It's another thing of being able to think critically and disseminate factual information. I think, as a whole, have become a little bit on the lazy side. We'll believe anything that's posted on social media as though it were the truth and it were the facts. And I'm floored with that, because some of us, know that the news lies, each other lies, but for whatever reason, we think, or we act like, I should say, some of us, that social media tells the truth. I see people utilizing percentages in their responses to certain things. Whenever I see people utilizing percentages, it has a tendency to make me look at it and wonder where these percentages have come from. And I have to look at it closely and say, you know, where are we getting such accurate numbers? And when I look at this, all I can say is it is just amazing. There was some, oh, my phones are going off like crazy right about now. Unfortunately, one of my dear queens is not feeling well, and I wish her the best, but I'll give her a call a little bit later on and get with her, make sure she's okay. But when I look at some of these percentages, there was one that talked about single-parent households. And I'm trying to pull it up right now, because I know exactly where they got it from. And it was very, very interesting about how many are in poverty. Got it, understood. They have, let's see, non-Hispanic blacks say 67% of children are born, of black children are born in single-parent family households. And then they say 72% of African-American births are out of wedlock. Now, understand when it talks about the single parent, they say the single parent is someone who is single, obviously, who basically handles all of the day-to-day responsibilities for raising the children. Very interesting, in the past, the death of a partner was the major cause of single parenting. So we need to understand that it is not, it has not always been that the black mother holds the child from the father. The leading cause for quite some time was the death of the significant other. And then after that, you had breakups or divorce. Women just going out and having babies is not something that has been crazy for the last 40, 50, 60 years. Okay, so we need to clean that piece up. The single parent family, and we need to stop mixing apples and oranges, can be headed by a mother, and it can be headed by a single father. We have to understand that it's not always what it seems. When they are talking single, they're talking non-married, okay? And they are talking, they're not including when they live together or if they have others living in the home that are helping. That's not what they're talking about in a specific study that a lot of people are citing. News One cites it, all these other places located. And I would suggest that we as people, I'm starting to think that there is a level of black supremacy. Say what you want. White supremacy has done quite a bit to ensure that wrong information is disseminated, to distort the numbers, to lay blame where it doesn't belong, to cause separation and division, to cause wars, to cause lack or limited dependence on each other and more independent. It's easier to take down one person than it is to take down three people who are banded together, or two people that are banded together. And so I hear everything from your generation is different than my generation, and that men are to lead and women are to be submissive. I am hearing so much that it's unbelievable. This information overload, people are becoming Google academics. And I think with Google, they become subject matter experts in their own mind. Oftentimes, me personally, I will laugh and crack up because I actually saw a comment made that the man is the head of the house and is supposed to know a little bit of everything. And I had to ask what that meant. Never got a response on that. I'm going to do a generalization. No one on the planet knows a little bit of everything. I'm concerned that we have bought into white supremacy far more than we know and what we realize. this thing about the man being the head. Ooh, he has the final word. She is to submit to him. Interesting. That patriarchy type of concept is very much associated with white supremacy. Some of our, well, actually, the majority of our ancestry, African, was primarily, predominantly, from the matriarch side. Not the way white supremacy has perverted matriarchy, but the way we have it, which means both are on level playing fields. Both have equal value. Both are capable of changing diapers and running for office. There is the tendency of the family wealth being passed down from mother to daughter rather than from father to son. So that is one of the differences. But in general, she can own land. She can be educated. She can teach. He can own land. He can teach. He can run for office. So this mindset that we have has gotten so bad that I even saw some young brothers talking about they gonna pack up and go find themselves some women in another country. I'm going to have to tell you, I busted up laughing. The naiveness is ripe. The naiveness is thick. Women who succumb to the BS of feminism, and this is my personal opinion, feminism was never for us. If you think critically once in a while instead of emotionally, the last I checked in the history books and in all the writings that our ancestors wrote is that black women did work and black men did work. They didn't work for a whole lot because they were paid peanuts. They were enslaved or indentured servants. So there was no discrepancy in pay. He didn't demand that she cook and clean, because both of them worked. They kept the children close. The children were with them in the fields. And when they were old enough, the children were also working in the fields. Oftentimes the men were taken or the children were taken. So feminism had nothing to do with us. It was white women who were home and weren't allowed to work and couldn't own property. Shoot, black men and black women couldn't own property at all. But they could work for peanuts or nothing. White women wanted the chance to go to school because white men went to school. Well, you know, for the most part, black slaves weren't allowed to read and write or learn how to. So we were equal on that part there too. So when you think about feminism, equal pay, you want to be feminist? Fine, but not towards a black man. Point your feminism towards the white man, the white supremacy machine. Point it that way. That's who you should be pointing at, not the man that looks like you. We need to wake up. We need to read. We need to learn our history instead of just being gullible and just following like sheep. We need to cease and desist all that because it makes no sense. We have black men, some, let me do it. There are a few black men out here who feel that a woman should smell good, be natural, be herself. However, when you get down to it, he doesn't like that. Remember now, we were in the field right along with you. Of course we're strong. We had to work and uphold the family. So of course we're strong. We had to stretch the food and the money whenever we got it. So of course we're thinkers. Of course we're vocal. He wants that white woman look, that docile, come hither me, let me rub you down after a long day's of work. That's what he wants. Then he needs to go and hang out with someone who fits that. But a few of our black men really need to learn their history too, because they're missing it. First, you're going to have to define what submission is. And I've asked that question of several men. What does submissive mean to you? I get exactly what the dictionary says. Well, I'm not asking a dictionary, I'm asking you. What does submission mean to you? I never get a straight answer because I'm going to ask the question. I ask questions because we are in a sad state. A few of our men are emotional. Emotional as hell. They're petty. They lash out at women that they can't have. They start rumors and they gossip about women that they can't have. They call men names like simps or tell them to suck their person. That's kind of ew. And to see black men go that far, there's something really wrong. And the majority of these men who are talking like this that I'm aware of were raised in two-parent households. So we can't say it was women's fault. And that's another thing. If we have all of these single women that have these children, we're mad because the women are having the single women are having the babies and slapping the father with child support. We're mad because she chooses not to have the child. She aborts. We're mad at her for that. We hold her responsible for the father not being around. Now, there was a discussion, I can tell you, Facebook is a trip. The poster, a guy, basically said that the black woman does not appreciate a strong man. Okay? I'm not sure what a strong man is supposed to be. He went on to say that the strong men were driven out of the communities by black women who called him names and degraded him. It made me cringe, like I'm cringing right about now. Then they weren't strong, my brother. They were weak. If you will leave your entire community behind to include your children because a woman called you names, that doesn't make you a strong man. This young brother completely forgot about the 60s through the 80s, where people decided to move to the suburbs. They picked up their families and they moved their families to the suburbs because there was no work in the inner cities. The crime rates were too high. The housing was deplorable. The infrastructure was weak. I said, so how do you account for that part? I got no response. Basically, he says, yeah, and they didn't come back. So this is a very learned brother with his degree who wanted to tell me that name calling drove the smart and strong brothers out of the community, completely forgetting about the mass migration that blacks and others made to leave the inner city for the suburbs or other less congested areas and lower crime rates and better work and better housing. He turned right around because he forgot that small fact and said, yeah, but they never came back to help in the community. Well, what are those strong men that you claim left because of name calling? They gonna come back? I never got a response. Information overload. There's so much information out here, but our ability to synthesize, analyze, apply appropriately, critically think about it, and be logical in it, minus emotion, is severely lacking. Sitting here saying 72%, what the study says is 72% of households are headed by single females. It included all the races, but somehow it just got plastered with black women, and actually the number is 67% black women. And single means just that, single, not married. But then you have another statistic that says that black men are the most present, available, and considered the best father out of all the ethnicities. So I have to ask, which statistic is true? Either she's a jacked up parent or he's really not present. We have to start thinking, and I know it can be painful for some, but we need to start thinking. This new school, new way of thinking, honestly, sucks. There is no common sense. Educated, opinionated, factless, a condemning nature. I'm not going to say hatred, but just insane. A few of the young black women that I've met and talked to are frustrated. The few black men that I've talked to who are young are frustrated. It is understandable, these outcomes. On one hand, you have a few of our black men who are so frustrated that they're ready to pack up and go find a wife somewhere else, or just date outside your race. Do whatever you need to do. You have a few of our black women who are frustrated, who date outside their race or remain single. I thought it was just the younger race. I'm finding out it's in the older race too. I'm finding out that there are people out here that who are older, 40 and older, who are just as brain dead as the young. My personal experiences, the few men who have gone to other races, have found that their curvaceous and lovely spouse, somewhere around the age of 40, gravity took over and not only dropped her up her weight, but up her attitude. And I crack up. That is hilarious. Because, you know, some of us black women try to tell you. She ain't who you think she is. Interestingly enough, the divorces for a few of our men start occurring around 40s and 50s. Or they're on wife number two, wife number three, and I'm just laughing. And the more that I travel about the country and involved in community-based things, I keep hearing, man, I should have met you when I was young. I should have met you. You're the kind of woman that would be perfect. I laugh because I let these older gentlemen know that when you were young, you did meet me. I didn't take any nonsense then. I don't take any now. But you chose to say that I was opinionated. And you married elsewhere. And now that you're older, and like I said, gravity has sunk in, and your non-black queen has gotten fat and lumpy, wrinkly, and she got extra curves where there should be no curves, and dimples where there shouldn't be any. Now, you're looking at us older black women who are over 40, and we're looking damn good. It's very, very interesting. There's a lot going on. And I think that we, as a people, as black people, we need to start putting our thinking caps on. We need to start loving one another. We need to cease redefining what love is. Cease redefining the roles for black men and black women. We need to learn our history, learn who we are, and take a minute to listen. Unknown caller, your mic is live.
Satan is good. Satan is my pal. Satan is good.
So lovely. There's always one. I guess he's into Satan. But anyway, one of the other things that concerns me is gun ownership. To own or not to own. We're given so many opportunities from this crazy government of ours. Are we still fussing and fighting on whether we should own or not own? I don't know. But all the queens that I'm aware of, we own. We pack. We go to the range. And it's interesting, a few of the black men and women that I've talked to outside of my circle, which is really small and it's going to stay that way, they think it's very unfeminine and that we are taking the role of men when we carry guns or when we go to the range because he is the protector. I had to give it some thought. Oh, and if you wish to speak, just press 1 and I'll open your mic. When I look at crimes in general, the average crime to a black woman is often when she's by herself, without her man. Our average black man often has a crime when he's by himself. It's very rare that there's a group against a group. And if you've ever noticed in all of these videos that we've seen, I have yet to see one-on-one. It's a male on a female, which we knew the outcome of that. It is a cop who's already shot that person. Sometimes it's 3, 4, 5 cops on one. It's a bunch of girls on one girl, a bunch of boys on one boy. And understanding that most attacks happen when we're by ourselves, why is there such an opposition to gun ownership, gun training, and gun licensure? I don't know. If anyone has any ideas, I welcome them. But I find it to be very interesting when you know that you want your woman to be safe. You know she's traveling by herself. We live in a time where she can be armed and taught to use it appropriately. You know that crimes occur when she's by herself. But if she carries a gun or any other weapon for that fact, then she is emasculating the man and not allowing him to be the protector. Okay. So I'm confused on that piece. Maybe it's just me. It could be. But what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a short break. And I found an old school commercial that I adore. And we'll be right back.
Makita, serene, majestic, beautiful Queen of Sheba. Yes, so great was the beauty of this magnificent black woman. It has become legendary. And now, out of the mist of 3,000 years, emerges today's beautiful black queen. Naturally beautiful, radiant, she is black essence. And her beautiful natural hair is her crowning glory. Today's beautiful queen uses Afro-Sheen. Afro-Sheen concentrated shampoo, pampers, and conditions as it cleans. Afro-Sheen conditioner and hairdress is a royal feast for your hair. Afro-Sheen Comb Easy places every hair at your command. And Afro-Sheen Hairspray for Sheen adorns your beautiful crown. Yes, your natural expression of pride is beautifully expressed with Afro-Sheen. Afro-Sheen, beautiful products for a beautiful people.
And we're back. I found that and I just had to chuckle to myself because I remember sitting in front of the TV and watching these women with these massive afros turn their heads slow, looking like they are Queen of Sheba, and just glistening. And yeah, Afro Sheen is what we used growing up. Area code 310, your mic is live.
Peace, Queen. This is calling from LA. I'm over here cracking up, right? I'm over here rolling because I'm just waiting for the kids to start singing. Beautiful people use Afro Sheen. Girl, you just took me all the way back.
I tried.
But I want to talk about women and being registered gun owners. I am one. I'm proud to say that I am a registered gun owner to, you know, a few different kind of guns.
Absolutely.
There was an incident in March. I was in Oakland, and I was attending some workshops and everything. Now, you know, when I travel, I do travel with, you know, with my gun. This particular day when I was out there, I had her in my purse. Not on me because I had on a dress. So I just had her in my purse. Left my purse in the car, went to Panera Bread. Not even 5 minutes later, my car was broken into and my purse was gone. So I had to report my gun stolen. You know, I'm glad that I did have, you know, my registration papers on me. Because I keep those on me, especially when I'm traveling, you know, with my gun. I keep my papers on me. I think that is absolutely smart, and I think that is imperative that women, you know, have protection. You know, you protect yourself at all times. I mean, you know, I was brought up, you know, to always protect yourself, you know, not leave it up to anybody else to protect you, but you protect you. So, with all that being said, I am a registered gun owner. I know how to shoot the shit out of it. I know how to dismantle it, clean it, and put it right on back together real quick. Even if you go back to, you know, you go back to these old movies, you know, like my grandmother likes Western movies. So, you know, you go back to this Western called Cheyenne. I mean, you know, they teach women, you know, when the men are out, you know, going to war, you know, the first thing they give the wives is a shotgun, you know, and they teach these women how to shoot. So, you know, I don't think that, you know, it's making a man less of a man because we have guns and we know how to use them. You know, our men can still very much protect us, but when we are by ourselves, you know, and normally this is when crime happens to, you know, right, to women or men, you know, when we are by ourselves, you know, we can't depend on, you know, someone to come out and save us, especially nowadays. You know, if there's a crime going on, ain't nobody going to help you. What they're going to do is they're going to turn their phone on.
Exactly.
And they're going to put it on Facebook.
Exactly.
So, you know, I really encourage, you know, women, you know, to go out, you know, and get you a gun. You know, and learn how to use it. You know, learn that gun. You know, that gun needs to be a part of you. You know, you need to know everything about it. Like what they say on Full Metal Jacket, this is my rifle, this is my gun. That's some real talk. You know, you need to know everything about that gun. And then also, you know, what I didn't know was when I first started getting into guns, you know, I had to educate myself, you know, on bullets. You know, because, you know, you could, like for instance, with a 9mm, you know, you can use a .45 bullet for a 9. It will fit. Not saying that it's going to work, you know, all the time. That sucker will get jammed and stuck, you know, and this is a lot of, you know, issues that a lot of people have, too, you know, because they're not educated on guns and bullets. But I had to educate myself on that, you know, and you need to know that it is very important to, you know, have a gun just for protection and also with our children, too. I have a 22-year-old and I have an 11-year-old. Now, I haven't taught my 11-year-old how to shoot yet. You know, we haven't taken him to the gun range yet, but he can, you know, he knows how to shoot the crossbow. He shoots that every weekend in our backyard, you know, so the gun is coming next. And that's my next thing, too, is very important that our children, our babies, know how to shoot a gun, you know, and dismantle a gun and put it back together and load it just as quick. I was watching a video on Facebook not too long ago. It was a little white girl, 9 years old. You talking about this little girl had some police academy training. I mean, she was so damn good with that gun.
Mm-hmm.
This was a 9 year old. And when I saw that, I had to clutch my pearls because I'm like, damn, you know, if this is what they're teaching their children, you know, we are so many years behind. We are so many years behind. So
right.
I say all of that to say that, you know, those that do not own a gun, you know, please go out and register to get a gun, or no, you don't have to register,
mm-hmm.
but just get you one. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's always best to, you know, protect yourself, especially nowadays. I mean, you know, we living in a time where, you know, everybody and their mama got a gun, you know,
yeah.
and ain't nobody scared to pull it out on you and use it. So,
yeah.
you know, you got to protect yourself. You know, this is like the Wild West all over again. So,
And I'll agree with you, you know. In my situation, I have girls and a son, and my youngest, I take her to the range. You know, my husband's no longer here on this earth, but we never had an issue. We were just like, absolutely, there'll be guns. Of course, we were responsible. We locked them up, all the rest of that. My daughter has taken a liking to my revolver, which I was just like, oh, okay, you know, she likes that particular one. My other two stay close. And I think that, you know, there's nothing wrong with having them as long as you're responsible. I'm licensed to carry, licensed to conceal. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's interesting because most of the men that I talk to, or I should say actually all of the men that I talk to, that I'm cool or friends with, however you want to use it, they ask and they're just like, well, you know, you are a licensed carrier, right? And I said, yes, they feel a whole lot better. That's why, you know, I brought this topic up because I was kind of shocked to see that there are a few out here who think that the woman protecting herself with a gun, knowing that the stats show that she is often attacked when she is alone, you know, that's what they look for. That somehow her having a gun emasculates him and removes him as the protector. I just never heard anything like that before, because my experience is, you know, most of the men that I'm aware of, they're just like, good, you know, if you need more bullets, let me know. If I need to take you to the range, let me know. I'll come and get you. You know, bring your daughter. You know, matter of fact, I'll help her with her aim. They want that because they realize the time that we live in. Area code 314, your mic is live.
You know, this is a good conversation that you're having. My name is Pianchi. I'm calling from the Midwest.
Hi.
But the lady, hey, you know, there is a what they call a brawl holster,
yeah.
a flashbang. Have you seen that? You can go on YouTube, type
mm-hmm.
in brawl holster,
mm-hmm.
and a beautiful black woman would come up and demonstrating how that brawl holster works.
Okay.
Well,
you can
I have one now.
You
have
one
now.
Well, that's great.
I have one now. At the time, I didn't. You know, and this, like I said, this was in March. This, you know, was just recent. That I was up there in Oakland and my car was broken into and I had my piece in my purse. So, you know, that was a lesson learned, a hard lesson learned because, you know, again, you know, I had to call the police right then and there. I had to report, you know, my gun being stolen, you know, and like I said, I'm glad that I keep my papers on me, you know, because I mean, I would have been screwed, you know, with my gun being registered in my name and it's stolen. That gun could have been on all kind of drive-bys and had all kind of bodies on it, and it would have came right back to me. But, yes, I do have one. I do have one.
And let me make a couple more recommendations real quick.
Okay.
Even though you license to carry, you should get concealed carry insurance. It's not expensive, you know.
Right.
Right.
It's about $250, $300 a year. And,
right.
you know, it's just like having an attorney on call. And one other thing, you know, there's the African-American gun club.
Yes,
there's
remember.
A lot of gun clubs around the country. Yeah, and some sisters mm-hmm. got some gun clubs, too, like the Foxy Browns, man. They have these events just like a bowling league, you know, where they have shooting leagues and competition against each other. It's a fun sport for family or individuals, and by all means, keep involving. And one other thing, there's a young black male in Illinois,
mm-hmm.
and he manufactures AR-15.
Oh.
He was wounded in the Afghan War, and he came out, and the weapon that he had that he kept with him all through his tour, even in the shower with him, he came out and started manufacturing them. And his name is Jonas Hagas. The company is called Civilian Arms, and they're in Illinois. And I think that is a wonderful thing what he's doing. So I just want to contribute to your conversation.
Awesome.
Maybe the information would be useful.
It is. I'm writing it down. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yeah, it just in today's age. Well, I can't even say today. It's throughout history when you look at it. You know, women are often attacked when they are by themselves. Me personally, pulled over by police, harassed by police. Thank goodness I was not a Sandra Bland incident per se. But you know. Being by yourself as a woman, it's almost like a setup if you're not prepared. And we need to be prepared. And it seems to be getting worse instead of better. So I still meet women who, oh, I'm afraid of guns. Okay, then get a knife. Learn how to throw, you know, some of the stars. Learn how to throw a knife. Learn how to utilize your keys as weapons. Go take a self-defense class, but learn how to protect yourself. And unfortunately, it won't be important until it happens.
Can I make a correction to the information I gave you guys?
Sure.
That's Civilian Force Arms. Civilian Force Arms.
Mm-hmm.
And you spell his name H-A-G-O-S. HAGOS-15 review is one of his YouTube. I don't know him. I don't receive no commission, but he has some good reviews on that piece of weapon that he designed and it also manufactured.
Okay. Okay. I will definitely look him up.
It's interesting, you know, that you're talking about guns too, because earlier I was on Facebook again, ladies and gentlemen. And I was just kind of scrolling, and then I ran upon something called Modern Day Gun Club LLC. And so I said, let me just click on it, you know. And, I mean, these are a bunch of white girls, you know, that got some guns that I have never seen before. A lot of them look like they are homemade. But these women, you know, are shooting these guns. I mean, you know, they are hitting a target. I'm talking about moving targets, you know, steel targets. And, you know, like the gentleman said, you know, they have competitions amongst each other. They have retreats, you know, where they go and they get together for the weekend, and they have gun talk that, you know. So I really think that it is very important just, you know, for our safety. And, you know, for the safety of your family, especially, you know, single mothers, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think it's just very important that, you know, you arm yourself, you know, and you are educated on the piece that you have. And you know it from, you know it like the back of your hand.
Absolutely.
I think it's very important.
Absolutely. And, you know, taking your children to a gun safety class, I think is important. Because when you look at, you know, some of these gun clubs, these kids are young. And here in my wonderful big state of Texas, there's something very sobering about seeing a little pink rifle for little girls. I mean, it's pink. And it is teeny. But it does fire 22s. And I'm sitting here going, yeah, we behind the curve big time. Because, you know, we're talking about somebody who probably is still working with the training wheel, already working with a rifle. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. it was a mini, it was a 22, and it was a mini one, and it was done in pink. It comes in its own little box with a handle. It comes with its own loader to help the little hands. Supposed to be so easy a child can do it. It comes with a little strap to go around the arm that's pink. I was like, are we serious right now? We are very serious. And then in talking to the lady at the gun store, she was telling me how she owns 6 and her husband owns 10. And then she was telling me about the hatchet that she owns, several Bowie knives that she owns. And I'm sitting here looking like, okay, so I don't feel too bad. You know, with my swords and hatchets, I'm good, but I'm behind the power curve when it comes to how many they own and how many they take out, you know, shooting. So I aim to rectify that. So it's not unheard of, and I think people need to stop being afraid of these weapons. And just like the cliche says, it's not the weapon, it's the person behind it that you got to worry about. Because sitting on the table doesn't bother anybody. It's probably very sobering for someone to hear, you know, the weapon go off the first time. I've seen some people on the range that I was kind of nervous to stay where I was at because they were shaking so bad. Because I was under this impression when they fire it that... that the round would go everywhere because they're screaming like crazy with their fingers still on the trigger. I did leave that area, and I'm glad I did because she did exactly that. But, you know, I think that the younger, the better, that they understand gun safety, understand it's not a toy. The program we went through was with a brother who was Special Forces. And he owns a gun place here. And he showed the damage that a gun will do up close as opposed to far away. And that was very sobering. That was very sobering because it blew a gigantic hole when we were up close. So, you know, he was saying, well, you know, this is what it'll look like if they accidentally shoot themselves at close range. And that's not, my daughter was just like, we won't be playing with guns. But, you know, for the most part, most of these gun places do have the child safety classes. And the child will be able to go in and learn about guns, even fire one. So I think it should be done. I also think they should take archery classes. Archery will teach you about breathing and aiming and, you know, I think they should be well-versed in more than just one weapon. Because you just never know. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, I own a crossbow. And
they're
I
nice.
Own several knives. I own hatchets. Next will be some stars. You know, every time... there's a gun convention.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I, we always go, and we never come out empty-handed, never. And the amazing part about all of this is that it's not that many Black people, you know, that are, you know, mm-hmm. in these conventions. You know, when the last time we went, it was 2 months ago, and we saw like 3 Black people, and we were like, hey, we over here if it go down, you know, I mean, it's just how we had to communicate with each other, but, you know, every time I go, you know, we make sure we leave out of there with something. And I believe I was talking to you on a couple of days before New Year's. I was at the gun store, and I had to take a test for, you know, for me to even buy a gun from this store, from this particular store, you know. And I was the only woman, only black woman in there. And I bought a Mossberg that day, and, you know, I had all kind of eyes on me, all kind of eyes on me. And when I got a feel for it and I cocked it, boy, them white people was looking like, okay. So one of the guys, one of the guys that was helping me, he was an older white man. He said, oh, wow, we're going to have to hide that from your husband. I said, oh, no, it's not my husband that has to worry. I said, it's the outsiders that have to worry. And he said, I'm going to tell you what. He said, because this particular Mossberg that I bought is a home defense gun. So, you know, when you hear that click, click, you know what I'm saying? That's automatically going to stop you in your tracks, you know. So I say all of this to say, you know, it is very important, once again, it is very important to protect yourself at all times. Protect your children at all times. And, you know, I live in Cali, so we don't have, you know, open concealed, you know, you can't, you know, really carry your weapon like that. You can have it in your car, but it has to be concealed, you know. But like I said, you know, when I'm traveling, you know, and I'm going, you know, outside of my city lines, yes, you know, I do carry my gun with me. But I'm not gonna lie, you know, I'm trying to be gunned up. I'm trying to have a little gun store, you know what I'm saying, in my gun safe, because I feel like, you know, that I feel like this, you know, you can't put a price on my freedom, you know, and my life, you know what I'm saying? My life is priceless, you know. And as long as, you know, as long as I have on this earth, you know, I'm going to protect myself and I'm going to protect my children. I'm going to make sure my children know how to protect themselves. Like my youngest, he is now, you know, a black belt in Taekwondo. Do you know that his sensei told me that I had to take my 11-year-old to the sheriff's station to get his hands registered? Mm-hmm. Do you think I did that?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Because, you know, it's bad enough, you know, that my son, you know, he is a black man. He's a black young man, you know, that's going to grow up to be, you know, a black man. And, you know, he already has these, you know, these strikes against him. I'm not going to take my son to the police station and willingly give up this information, you know, and have my son register his hands as lethal weapons. I'm not going to do that. But if you run up on him, you're going to see.
And I don't blame you. My late husband was from Oakland, and he did have his hands registered. And trust me, it was constant being picked on by police. Constant. It's like it singles you out. One of the young fellows that I've taken care of, or my husband and I have taken care of, because he was in an abusive situation. He came to my home. His stepfather had hit him in the face with a motorcycle helmet, broke his nose. And so my late husband took him to the doctor, got the nose reset. He stayed with us for a little while. But he went on to become an MMA fighter, and he had to be registered in California. He's back here in Texas now. But, you know, all he got was, you know, it's like as soon as the police in Cali found out that, you know, he was registered, it didn't stop. It just picked up. So I don't blame you for not registering your son's hands.
You know, another thing, more blacks should apply for their federal firearms license, too.
I think so. Absolutely.
I think so.
So you can start selling legally and registering weapons the legal way. Because, you know, when you go to these gun shops, they don't treat you like you should be treated. One of the looks that they give you, what you're doing here anyway. So we can start get our own federal firearms license and sell the legal way just like anybody else is doing.
And it's interesting because I know when I bought my Mossberg, I didn't buy the shotgun. I bought the baby. It looks like a mini AR.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a Tech 9.
It's a cutie. And he was not sure. He just looked at, you know, the dealer was just like, and I guess he saw the size of my hands because I'm almost 6 feet tall. And I said, I can't do anything small. I said, so this is perfect. She fits in my hands just perfect. He says, yeah. I just love that nervousness. But, you know, we should be out here buying.
We should.
A couple of the young black men that I know went through the class / course with me. And I'm not even sure what happened. I stayed on them and stayed on them to submit the paperwork. Here it is, a year and a half later, none of them submit the paperwork. Now they got to go through this all over again. I've been licensed for over a year. I used to have a license to carry in the state of New Jersey. So I'm used to having, you know, a license to carry. When I moved to Texas, they took it because there was no reciprocity at the time. But I was like, hey, I'm getting mine back, you know, and it's almost like, I don't know, it's to go through all that and then not follow through with the paperwork. It would have taken 2 seconds because our fingerprints here in Texas are electronic. And all you do is send in the check and the paperwork and it's done. Give it a month or two. People are saying it takes 6 months. I had my ID in less than 45 days. And that was during Christmas time. So, okay. But I'm finding a lot of people are dragging their feet about it. And I agree with you, sir. We need to have that. We need to. And mine, when I got it, was a concealed handgun license, a CHL. And then Texas this year changed to open carry. So now you're getting an open carry permit. The CHL is okay, so I can conceal as well as open carry. Because I thought I had to get a second license, and they're like, you're good for 7 years. Fine.
Here
in
Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Missouri, you don't leave a license to get concealed carry. And if you got a concealed carry license, you can open carry. And it's a misdemeanor for the police to mess with you.
We can do that now. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. We can do that now for the pistol because Texas only had a concealed, but then they changed this January to open carry. And so if you have a concealed, you can open carry. That's because I thought I needed a second, go to the next class. They were like, no. If you already have a concealed, you can still open carry, which is great because you can carry long barrels. You can carry all of those shotguns. You don't need any license at all. It's the handgun that has the license piece to it. So I'm trying to encourage as many people that look like us to carry, but they're just like, they'll go through the course. I guess they think it's cool and just don't follow up with the paperwork. And I'm like, don't get yourself in trouble.
Yeah. Now, Illinois and California, two states I wouldn't live in.
Oh,
Illinois requires a 16-hour. Illinois requires a 16-hour course, whereas most states require a 8-hour course. But in Illinois, especially Chicago, they have some of the most archaic. Those laws wouldn't even stand up in Judge Judy's court. I mean, if you got a bullet in your pocket, you have to have a Illinois ID for the gun that matches that caliber bullet. And if you have a weapon at your home, it has to be disassembled.
What?
Yeah.
What? That's how it is in California, too. You know, and that's where I'm from. You know,
what
California has. Yeah, your gun, it can't be ready to shoot. So if somebody breaking your shit, you know, you got to hurry up and put that sucker together. That's what they say. That's
even
what they say.
Home?
Even in your home, you got to hurry up and put that bad boy together, you know. So those are the two states that absolutely suck, you know, when it comes down, you know, to the gun laws. But
is it the same thing for long barrels and rifles as it is for handguns? Because I know our state is separate. Those are two different pieces of legislation.
You live in the best state.
I know that's right.
you live in the best state, you know, to have guns. Because, I mean, you know, Texas, they are no limit soldiers, you know, when it comes to them guns. You know, you can have as many as you can, you know, as you can buy. You know, California, you know, we have a limitation on, you know, how many guns, you know, we can have. That sucks. It sucks, you know. That's what they say, you know.
That's what they say, okay.
But, you know what I say. I say this is America. This is America.
Okay.
And if I want to have a gun, it is my right to own a gun.
And we will not do Cali, and we won't do Illinois. Any other states that we should be worried about? No.
I don't know.
Well,
I just,
probably the states up northeast, those liberal states. Mm. You know, Trump had proposed a constitution carry that would cover all the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope he puts that through.
Yeah,
but
he also proposed that we would be able to carry in courthouses and military bases. I said, oh, my goodness, here we go. He was talking all kinds of stuff. So, 864, your mic is live.
Yes, peace, love, and Black Power. How y'all doing?
This is Black Power. Who am I speaking with?
Okay. This is Equine Evil calling from South Carolina.
Okay, hi.
I just want to say the brother, as we're discussing this topic, and this is a very reasonable discussion we should be having, especially here in America, and I'm definitely one to what the sister said earlier about teaching our children how to defend themselves. And if they are presented with a firearm, there are some people that know how to disarm the person in which that is presenting, you know. So even when knowing how to properly defend ourselves, I wouldn't encourage someone trying to do that and them not knowing what they, you know how to do that. But I think these are the various levels of defense as we're talking about knowing how to protect ourselves. And I do see where it has been beneficial. But I think it is, even when we're talking about the NRA, because somebody had pointed this out, that you didn't see an overwhelming, you didn't see an uproar within the NRA when the brother, the Castillo brother got killed, when he was actually carrying, I think he had the license to carry, and I think he had told the cop that or something, but he still got killed. I think we still are still dealing with the same system that has always wanted to push us as Black people on the exterior as it relates to knowing how to defend ourselves and actually being able to defend ourselves, you know. And even with a law, I think there was another brother, he might have been an undercover or something like that, or something to that nature. But it was a brother that actually, he had the right to carry, open and carry, and he was killed by a cop or something like that. But it didn't get, like, a whole lot of national attention, again, because it is a Black life. We didn't see the NRA. We know that they have a lot to do with these laws that are being made, but you didn't see them rising in the uproar saying, well, hey, it's not fair. Something should be done to this system because they killed this unarmed man. It's still a thing that favors and benefits white folks. We still do know this. So I think even as we are able to carry the gun, open and carry, I sometimes do question, will that create the likelihood of, you know, a cop, undercover cop, seeing that and maybe telling you and, you know, creating more damage? You know, because we do know that the law is going to go in their favor. Just like I just saw an instance where this undercover cop had killed a 15-year-old.
Right.
You know, shot him and jumped on his chest and shot him, and the cop got off.
Yep.
You know, so again and again, these dynamics are still there. We do know that, I do know, even with me being a gun owner, that even in going to some of these pawn shops, the reality is a lot of the white boys, they still own the ability to sell these firearms and actually supply them. And I saw the dynamics in which it was a white boy from Germany, a white boy from Russia or somewhere, was in an American, you know, gun shop that I was purchasing. I was just looking at the dynamics, and it sounded like the Russian guy or the German guy was actually doing a lot of ordering of the guns. So a lot of times we have to ask, is this still white supremacy at work? Is it, you know, that they are able to get certain guns over here? And we know that this system is still, if it had to be that Russian that was white against that black man, you know, here in America, we know who the system would still favor. So I'm just looking at the warped law that we still as black people have to deal with. Even when we're talking about a lot of our people have criminal offenses, probably, and they are innocent. People are innocent. They haven't done a thing, but they could very well have criminal offenses that would kind of kick them out of being able to have a gun. You know, so, you know, that's just what I want to share as we're having a discussion, this discussion, but it is a good discussion on us as black people knowing how to handle guns, knowing how to utilize guns, because the sister said, like the sister said, just because the government, and I'm not encouraging anybody, but just because the government said it ain't right, don't mean that, hey, that we might not have to cut corners. The government probably says it's wrong to be black or it's wrong to drive while being black. But we have to cut around certain corners. So even outside of these gun laws, they may say, well, disassemble your gun at home. But hopefully we will have a level of common sense. And we would know, well, hey, I ain't going to keep, you know, if I have to, I'm going to keep my stuff right here on me. I'm a, you know, and as we're out there moving, we are moving responsibly. You know, you're not drinking and driving with a firearm. You're not doing something silly. So I think this is a discussion that we should have, even with those that may not be awarded the privilege to open and carry, but they still want to defend themselves. You know, even if it be a bow and arrow or, you know, something, you know, defense is something that us as people, we should kind of get into, even going out there to go target practice. A lot of people, we talk about these guns, but you might not see them at the gun range. A lot of people might not. They don't know how to, you know, make ammunition, things of that nature. I think these are discussions that we should have.
Thank you. No problem. Thank you. I think making ammo would be a good way to go, too. I haven't learned that yet. Okay. Well, I know for me.
I don't think it's hard to do. Honestly, I don't think that it's hard to do. I mean, hell, these little white boys make them all the time.
Yes, they
do. They do. They make these guns. They make these homemade bombs and grenades, and they utilize them, and we all know they work. I mean, because they blow up schools and they blow up movie theaters, you know. And, oh, you know what? This is another thing I forgot to mention, too. When I was in the gun store, excuse me, and I was talking to you, I witnessed this old lady. I mean, you know, she had to be like in her 70s, you know, white lady, looked like a grandma, that was buying her 15-year-old, you know, grandson AR, okay? Now, you know, at the time, you know, when we were in the store together, the laws have changed, you know, for these assault rifles. You know, it's now illegal to have them in California. But if you do have them, what makes it illegal is the grip. So, you know, with mine, I had to change my pistol grip. I had to change the grip on it because, you know, I had to make it legal. So you had to change the grip. But it tripped me out to see this, you know, this older woman buying her grandson,
wow,
a 15-year-old, 15 years old, you know, a gun, and a big one at that, you know. And I'm like, what the hell is he going to do with this other than, you know, coming over here and trying to shoot some of us up, you know. I'm saying all of this to say that it is very important that we teach our babies because, you know, you know, even like when I'm out there in the streets and I'm talking to, you know, I'm talking to the people, you know, I really like to talk to, you know, the gangbangers because, you know, I look at them, you know, as soldiers, you know, I see them for who they are. They're just fighting, you know, they're not fighting in the right, you know, war. But, you know, I tell all of these drive-by shooters, you know, what you guys are doing is, you know, this is just, you know, war tactics. You know what I'm saying? You need to really start teaching, you know, yourselves and these babies how to properly shoot. You know what I'm saying? How to really arm yourself and know these guns. You know, this little boy got this big-ass gun, and on top of that, he had a holder, you know, he had a case for it, he had accessories for it, girl, and she turned around and bought that baby a vest. I said, what is she getting him ready for? I mean, I'm not going to lie, that it kind of scared the shit out of me, because I'm like, you know, if they are teaching these babies, you know, how to shoot, they don't even have to bring in, you know, their actual soldiers to come and jack us up. They can just bring in their first string, you know, which are these kids that know how to shoot real well. I'm talking about these school shooters and these movie theater shooters, you know what I'm saying? And these just random shooters, you know, I don't know. It's scary, you know, but at the same time, you know, it's an eye opener. You know, we really have to educate and arm our kids. We really
do. In Atlanta, they got a high school that has a gun range in it. I think it's North High School.
Wow.
And when I was coming up, we used to carry our 22s on our on a shoulder strap to go to school because we had, you know, gun practice at the school.
I grew up in the wrong state. Grew up in New Jersey.
I grew up in the wrong state too, apparently. You know, because I would have loved to go to a school, you know, where they teach us how to shoot.
And that can take you further. You know, you can go into Olympic competition.
True.
You can get into the sporting goods business and have all sorts of activities that support your sale and of those various items. So there's so much that you're missing out on.
And then on top of that, I didn't even know that the university here, like many, you can get scholarships for archery as well as shooting. I did not, for marksmanship. I did not even know that. Had I known that, chances are I would have had a scholarship in both areas, but they do have marksmanship and archery teams, and their scholarships were 2-year, 4-year, full ride, all of it. All of it. I did not know. So, but I'm out of college now, so that ends that. However, you know, you might be able to tell your son about that if he decides to go back to school. I tell my daughter the same thing. Let's get you spun up on weapons. But I know she can't get a license to carry till 21. But the state is weird. I can gift her a gun, but she can't carry it until she has the license, and she's 21. Imagine that. But, I tell you, this is a topic that I think, you know, I'm glad that it was brought up, and I definitely appreciate, you know, all the input. It is something to really, really look at and think about in a day and a time when we just don't know what to expect. I actually saw the, what is the movie, The Purge, Election something. I saw bits and pieces of it, and that was enough election year. There you go. The purge election year. There you go. I was not happy watching that one because that seemed a little bit too real for me. But I think our children need to be well-versed in survival in general. They should know how to handle firearms as well as handle knives and machetes and stars and definitely crossbows or compound bows, whichever is their liking. I'm a old school compound bow type woman. I think they should be well versed and not be afraid of any of those. And, you know, there's plenty of classes out here now. There is, I am seeing more women taking classes. I've noticed more advertising of women's classes, firearms classes. I'm still not seeing a whole lot on the security piece, like in personal security. And I kind of wonder why I don't see that part too, because I think we need to be able to utilize personal security measures. You know, I myself, level one, but I'm willing to go all the way to level four and learn what I need to learn. But I'm noticing there's not a whole lot of personal security pieces. However, I am aware that there's a lot more work for personal security guards. Personal protection. You call them protective dogs that are fully trained. I'm seeing a lot more of that. So that's next on my list, is to have a dog, not just the gun, but the dog too. Being fully trained in attack. And if I can't speak, at least be able to, the dog can respond to hand signals, things of that nature. And these dogs are being very well trained. So that is next on my list. That can be rather expensive, but that's okay. It's personal security and home security that's important. So might as well have
to. You know, there's an African-American company that does border protection, drone surveillance. It's called Centel, Sentel. It's headed by General Kip. I think his last name was Williams, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both just predominantly black. But they provide security for the state of Israel, border protection. They have devices, technology where they can monitor to detect tunneling under walls and so on and so on and so on. So you'd be surprised the things that there's black businesses that's involved in, quietly kept, but they're there. Are they there in large enough numbers? I don't think so. I think there's a lot of room, like some of the ventures that you just got through are relating to.
Mm-hmm.
But and you know, there's a company down in Brazil that make clothing apparel that's bulletproof. Not nothing that's bulky. It's like a dinner jacket or a sport coat, a sport shirt, and they're bulletproof.
Wow. Yeah. Nicole, I think may get some new outfits. Seriously, though. Okay. Well, we are winding down on Rappin' Black. Does anyone have any pearls of wisdom or any jewels, you know, for the audience before I close this out?
I would just like to say, beautiful black people, please gun up. That's the best advice I could possibly give you. You know, we are living in some horrible, horrible, horrible times, and I can't stress how important it is to educate yourselves, you know, on firearms, and just gun up, and I yield.
And I pretty much say the same thing. I like collecting old revolvers, like the ones Clint Eastwood and Lee Van Cleef used to use in his movies, Derringers, the Colt weapons, the Code Python, and especially the Derringers, the Snake Eyes. But another thing, you know, I just don't live for myself. I have a grandson that depends on me. I have a daughter. So I don't expose myself to careless and reckless behavior, whether it's running and jumping in bed with just anybody or being out in the street, you know, at particular times. Of course, nowadays, it don't matter what time it is, seemingly.
Right.
But you still have to be prepared for the unexpected. And you have to be aware of your surroundings. You know, just don't walk out of a store and without stopping and looking around you, look at your car, who's sitting next, who's parked next to your vehicle, and all those safety things that you want to be sure that you are safe rather than being sorry. So, you know, just have a heads up. Don't be afraid to get involved. Do get involved and enjoy yourself. Enjoy life.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And if I could add real quickly,
sure.
I would just like to say, me as being in the African priesthood, I think Dr. Wyena Bella, she brought some good information. She said the only successful revolution we had, here, especially in our recent recollection, was the Haitian Revolution. And that even when we're talking about defense and knowing how to guard ourselves and knowing how to push this European back, obviously, you know, they utilized African spirituality as a warfare, coupled with, you know, the things that we would normally protect ourselves with. Even as we're talking about metal working, understanding metal, understanding iron, you could come up with your own design for the baddest. You know, we don't have to actually just go out and get what the European has. You know, the European, he develops within metal. I think even when we expand beyond those parameters of thinking that we can do and looking at ourselves as the greatest resource, us as a people, and I'm not, you know, telling people not to arm themselves. Definitely, they should be doing that. But to say that that's all, I think we should, like Bianca just said, we have to keep our eyes open and just knowing, you know, knowing how to be cautious and knowing how to discern of where we should be and where we should not be going. And I look at that as being a spiritual connection, a spiritual eye.
Okay. All right. Well, awesome. We had quite a few people here just kind of listening, which is not a problem. But I want to thank the three of you for interacting and providing, you know, your insight on this topic that will probably never go away. And I want to say I've learned some things and I've written down some things and I definitely appreciate it. And so on that note, I want to say everyone have a blessed Sunday. There's still some time left in your Sunday, in your weekend, and we'll see you next week on Wrap and Black. Same time, same place. Have a great weekend, everybody.